Hello and welcome to another episode of the Views from the Holgate podcast. My name is Don Brown. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode. Well, last episode we were talking about how Borough had started off the season with no wins in a row. This podcast marks the first loss for Middlesbrough in seven games in the league. And that's absolutely remarkable the way Middlesbrough have been able to turn around their form in recent weeks. So we're going to talk this episode about Borough's change in form, how Michael Carrick has been able to do that. We're also going to be chatting a lot more things to do with Middlesbrough in terms of how we've been able to turn it around, how the formation's done that, what Carrick's been able to do, the tweaking, how we can go forward from here looking ahead to the rest of our season, as well as diving into the near future, the near past, stuff like that. Everything to do with Middlesbrough is going to be discussed on this podcast in the latest episode of the Views from the Holgate. Let's just dive straight into it, shall we? And let's have a look at our recent form. Like we say, Michael Carrick has really turned around Middlesbrough's fortunes in the recent games. Obviously, Middlesbrough's last league fixture was a 2-0 loss to Stoke City. But before that match, Middlesbrough were really on top form, not losing a game, winning in fact six league games in a row, sprinkled in another win in the Carabao Cup in there as well. Absolutely fantastic form from Middlesbrough. I've got to say, we were absolutely flying as well. Maybe starting to falter a little bit, not necessarily putting in the best performances perhaps in the two games post international break, but absolutely flying in terms of performances, winnings, getting the, but getting the points on the board. Michael Carrick had really turned around the fact that Borough couldn't turn good performances into wins, and we were grinding out wins. And even before the international break, like I was saying, put in some cracking performances. A second half against Sutherland was an absolutely brilliant performance. Despite what people may say, we put in a great performance as well against Southampton to get the 3 points in the first win of the season there as well. So Michael Carrick did absolutely brilliantly to turn the fortunes around, to get us into playoff contention. Obviously, we were seventh before we lost that game against Stoke. And obviously, now we are now in the quarterfinals of the Cup, because I'm recording this podcast after Borough's 3-2 win away at Exeter City, which saw Middlesbrough go into the hat for the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup, which has seen us draw Port Vale away, which is the easiest task to get through to the semi-finals of the competition. But obviously, don't count chickens before they hatch. If you remember 2019, the last time we were in the quarterfinals, we played Burton Albion when we had Jonathan Woodgate in charge, and we lost 1-0 at home. So don't count your chickens, definitely not in this competition, especially with Borough, because anything can happen. But specifically with this season and how things have gone down, how has Carrick managed to turn this thing around? How has he turned our fortunes around? Well, let's have a little cast our mind back to some darker times maybe for Borough when we weren't playing as well. How has he done it? How have we been able to do so well? One of the reasons and one of the ways, I think, and one of the people who have been integral to Middlesbrough doing better this season is a certain striker who's getting a little bit maligned lately for his finishing ability. Josh Coburn, I think, is one of the main reasons that Middlesbrough are actually doing so well at the moment. His ability to hold the ball up and play as a focal point striker is something that Borough didn't have after the loss of Chuba Akpom. We saw it against Southampton when he was playing up against Taylor Howard-Bellis. We saw it when he was playing against Dan Ballard as well in the game against Sunderland. Obviously, the game kind of opened up after the red card to Dan Neal, but his ability to do that and be that kind of focal point is something we were missing earlier in the season. Latte Lath couldn't do that. You saw Morgan Rogers losing the ball, the ball coming up to him, bouncing off him a lot of times. But what we had last season with Chuba Akpom was, yes, a great player and an amazing player, a great finisher, but what I think a skill that we didn't necessarily admire as much, or we took for granted maybe with Chuba Akpom, was the fact that his hold-up ability was so good. You could bounce a ball into him in the 10 position. He would pin a defender and knock the ball out wide to a winger who would then start an attack. You could then get an attack going really well. So, for example, you could get it, build it up on the right-hand side, or you could bounce out to Giles, who would start an attack, get it the ball into the box really fast. In the second half of the season, you'd have Cameron Archer or then a late-arriving Chuba Akpom there to kind of pounce and hopefully score a goal or at least get a shot on target. Earlier on in the season, we didn't have that. The ball was going to Rodgers and he was try to do a little trick or run with the ball and we would lose it and we'd get counter-attacked so easily. It would make us look like our midfield wasn't there because you know, he was coming deep to get the ball, and then they would nick it, and then they would have a run straight through on goal. And the ball coming straight back on our defence was making our defence look so much worse. So much harder to defend. Speaking of someone, I mean, I've only played very low Sunday league levels and under-18s, but it's so much harder to defend, and you can imagine this as well, is if when you get the ball clear, and you've seen it in football matches as well, if your team's booting the ball clear and the ball's coming straight back to you, that's so much harder to defend a game. But when you've got a player like Akpom who could hold the ball up, you had time to kind of to catch your breath in defence and then do something about it. Someone like Coburn in those earlier games was able to do that. He was able to get hold of the ball, bring the ball down and bring other people into play, be that through a header or chesting the ball down and bringing it down. I was really impressed with him the game against Cardiff and the game against Southampton, especially Southampton, because Taylor Howard-Bellis is a Premier League defender in waiting. He did really well for Burnley last season, and I think Southampton have done well to get hold of him, to be honest. He was pinning Howard-Bellis. Coburn had him pinned. It was absolutely bullying him, and I thought for someone who came into the fray a couple of seasons ago, just looked really, really skinny. It looked like a rake, and he was just not kind of built up to be the striker he was. It looks like he's put on a little bit of weight. It looks like he's beefed up a bit, and he could then hold the ball up in that position. He's done really well, so played really well in those games. And then Coburn has then been that focal point striker, which where we could build around, so the ball goes into Coburn, we can then bounce it off him. Sam Greenwood's come into the fray and done really, really well in these recent games. He did it. So when Coburn came in to the game against Sheffield Wednesday, we didn't win that game, we only got a draw, but we won against Sunderland, a game where Sam Greenwood played. Sam Greenwood has done really well being that kind of secondary striker. I know I spoke to some Leeds fans, some friends of mine who are Leeds fans, who weren't really big fans of Sam Greenwood, who said he's not really a 10, he's not really a striker. But I was half wondering in my head and hoping almost, maybe beyond wondering, but that hopefully he could be that kind of like not quite a striker, not quite a number 10. That Tuba Akpom was last year. Obviously, he's not got the build. He's maybe a different kind of player. So maybe he is being that almost. We've swapped roles, that the striker is now the one who holds the ball up instead of the number 10, like last year when Akpom held the ball up instead of Archer. But he's done really well in that kind of position, so hopefully that could be something. I know he's pushed out more to the left-hand side now we've lost McGree through injury, but he's done really well and commendably. And Isaiah Jones as well, the resurgence of Isaiah Jones is another reason that Michael Carrick's been able to turn the season around. So all credit to Jones. Obviously, if we didn't have Jones playing as well, we would have a problem on that right-hand side with Force out through injury, and I think Force had a little bit of a not a very good start to the season as well. We'd be a little bit short of options on that side as well. But the fact that we have three players who are playing well, obviously Coburn, you can say, yes, he's not scoring his goal, he's not doing what a striker should do per se, but if he is bringing players into the game, he's making other players better. You know, I think I saw a stat that Borough had 12 players score goals this season, which is the one of the joint most in the league. I think it is the joint most in the league with a couple of other teams, including Leicester. That signifies the fact that you've got players working for the team and doing well. You've got like a McGree who gets assists. Greenwood as well works hard for the team. Crooks works hard for the team. And so does Josh Coburn. So, yes, okay, you don't have a Tuba Akpom who will score goals and goals and goals for the team, but you have players who will work hard for the team and who will consistently do well to work hard. Yes, he will not put the ball on the back of the onion bag like you want to see from your striker, but okay, we haven't replaced Tuba Akpom's goals. You have to kind of do the money ball tactic of replacing it throughout the team and doing other things. But I think what we need to look forward to now is how sustainable is this run for Borough? Looking ahead to the people who we've got coming up forward to, we're going to do that. And we're also going to have a little look at how this run is going to keep going after that loss to Sunderland. How that loss to Stoke is going to do. Is it going to get worse? How is that going to impact us going forward? And we'll do that after this. Right now, moving on, we're going to have a little look at the Stoke game in particular, because what I want to have a look is, can we keep the run we had previous to the Stoke game going? And if there's any changes Michael Carrick can make, maybe some tweaks to his side that could improve Borough going forward. Because obviously the loss to Stoke City, I don't think many of us saw it coming. Some people maybe did. I'm a little bit on the fence. I thought we would get a win from that game against Stoke. However, looking at it, again, with a little bit of hindsight, they've just won two really good games. Not necessarily performances, but against two other good teams. So it was definitely a potential banana skin. And yes, you see a Borough team coming into that game, winning so many games, and you go, yes, okay, whatever. We will chalk that on up to a mistake. What needs to happen now is Middlesbrough need to bounce back from that going forward. And they've done well in midweek to not let that bad game become a bad run of form against Exeter City. Although they ran it close, Ryan Trevitt did his best in the first half at least, or the first two goals, to make sure that he was trying to make Borough lose, but then he gave away that sloppy penalty that Emmanuel Latte-Lath put away. But yeah, the game against Stoke, I think it was just a bit lacklustre, to be honest with you. I think it's one of those games that happens and then Borough fans just forget about. You know, a poor goal to concede from a set piece, and then, yeah, a nicely worked goal from Stoke, but there was just so little going forward for Middlesbrough. When I saw the statistics at the end of the game, I couldn't believe how little, like, not necessarily a possession we had, but, like, how few shots we had. Just the fact that we were so, I don't know what the word, but, like, blunt, maybe, going forward. Just, we should have had a lot more, and we usually do have a lot more going forward for these games. But, yeah, maybe, I think I heard people saying that Jones was off form, and yes, okay, if Jones is off form, and other people aren't playing as well, maybe you do run the risk of that. And I think that maybe it's a little bit of a problem for us this season. You play Matty Crooks in the number 10 position, who is like an auxiliary centre midfielder playing further forward to give Jones that right to go forward and help him out. If Jones isn't firing, then yes, you are almost playing with one less attacker going forward. You're almost playing a 4-3-3. So yes, I can understand that point of view of, if he's not firing, then what else are you going to do? So my question would be then, what changes can Michael Carrick make to help Borough going forward and help our attacking ability? Because I think what he's had to do this season is maybe help the defence a little bit. So maybe Crooks is there to, you know, make sure we don't get counter-attacked as easily down that right-hand side, to help out a little bit. If he thinks that our defence is a bit more solid, if he likes the centre-back pairing of Fry and McNair, if he likes having Hackney and Housen in central midfield when they're both fit and not suspended like Hackney was, what can he do going forward to change it around a bit? Obviously, midweek has shown us that Rodgers and Silvera are actually good options to have off the bench. Yes, it's against a League One side, in Exeter City. But Rodgers' goal was a brilliant, brilliant finish. Top bins, as the TikTok said. But Rodgers, yeah, I mean, great finish. He's been playing well recently. I was advocating for him to start in the number 10 position more recently, because if we have Corbin playing that hold-up role, he isn't going to be required to kind of play that role as much. Can he maybe play in that buzzing number 10 position? I think Silvera is better off the bench at this point now, mainly just because it's that kind of thing of, you've got pace, come off the bench, you can kind of run at teams. He's probably better used in that kind of position until he develops his game a little bit, gets a bit more nuance to it, gets more used to where he's playing, a bit more used to England. So yes, you kind of use him off the bench, but maybe Rodgers starting. The other thing I was thinking of, which I'm interested to hear your opinion on, what if Borough went back to almost using two strikers and used both Josh Corbin and Emmanuel Latte-Lath up front? Yes, we might have to be a little bit light on strikers for the run-up until January, and we have to look at bringing one, even maybe two strikers in January, but if you had Josh Corbin in the mould of, like I've said, in Akpom, where he is the hold-up striker, he can look to bring someone else in. And then you've got Emmanuel Latte-Lath, who is the role of the Cameron Archer. He's the getting-in-behind striker, the pressing striker. He will be the one that the defenders are scared of, where Josh Corbin is the one who is more reserved and the one who will be bringing everybody else into play. On paper, that seems like it would work from an attacking point of view. Is that too attacking? Maybe would we play that kind of these two guys against like a Sheffield Wednesday, a Rotherham, a QPR, these kind of teams that are further down the league, but for example when we come up against Leicester in a couple of weeks time, should we then be more reserved, play Matty Crooks in that midfield role, maybe be a bit more dogging? So is it the horses for courses kind of thing? I think that could work, to be honest with you. I think having a different kind of attacking setup for when we play different teams with a deeper squad, that could work. And I just think that could be something that kind of goes forward. If we used Latilat and Corbyn together. Obviously, like I said, we might need some a bit more backup. Maybe bring another striker in on loan who could just kind of help us out. Or, for example, if Marcus Forth comes back to fitness, you've got another example of somebody there who could cover in striker if needs be. For example, if an injury occurred, I know Carrick doesn't really see him as a striker. We've had this conversation before, but I think it's an option. The other option is obviously what Carrick can do to make sure that this good run continues. We've got Riley McGree coming back from injury. And what happens when Riley McGree comes back? Does Crooks just drop straight out of the team? And does Sam Greenwood return to attacking midfield like he did against, I believe it was at Southampton, he played attacking midfield? That worked well for that match, but how does that happen? How does he sort that? I mean, it's a good headache for Michael Carrick to have. I'd be more inclined, again, maybe that's what he does against the lesser teams, so to speak. Maybe he plays that kind of more attacking game plan and then drops, maybe drops Greenwood in those games and then plays Crooks. But we'll have to see what happens going forward, because I don't know, I'm not too sure about that one. Right, moving on now, we are going to have a look at how sustainable we think this run is for Borough, because obviously it's come to an end, the unbeaten streak, so the unbeaten streak has come to an end, but Borough have had such a great rise throughout through the table, what we were bottom of the table in September. How well do we think this is going to go? Obviously, we haven't necessarily played some amazing teams recently. We played Southampton before they went on their run. We played Sunderland, who were a good team, but that was just at the start of when they were having a slump. How sustainable do we think this run for Borough is going to be? We're playing Plymouth at the weekend. Plymouth, obviously, I don't know what I think of Plymouth, really. I think that this is a game that Borough should be looking at going in and getting 3 points against. Home Park is a difficult place to go to, but you think that if your team wanting to be in and around the playoffs, you should be beating somebody down in 19th. But then after that, you've got Leicester City in the next match, and you've also got Leeds and Ipswich in a couple of weeks' time to start off December. You're coming up to a difficult patch of form. Maybe you allow yourself to drop a couple of points in those matches. Yeah, I just think we are going to drop off a little bit because of these run of fixtures. And again, coming into December, I don't think we have the deepest of squads. We've got a good starting 11, and then we've got Rodgers and Silvera, who are good backups. We've got some injuries, obviously, to the back line and to obviously Lewis O'Brien in centre midfield as well. How good we are going to be sustainably and keep going forward, I don't know about that one. I am interested to hear your opinions on this one, because I don't know how good we can be and how sustainable we can be going forward. I really want to hear your opinions on that one. And also, just before we round off this podcast, just want to have a little talk about the cup run, because obviously Middlesbrough are in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup. Like I say, first time since 2019. In 2019, we played Burton Albion, and in that game, when Jonathan Woodgate was our manager, we lost 1-0 in that match, meaning we didn't go through to the semi-finals. And can't believe that happened in the end. I remember being there in the stands and watching that and being so confident we were going to win that game, and then they nicked a goal, and we were so poor that game. You know what? I'm going to do a live bit of Googling now, because Borough Burton Albion, I'm thinking that it was the game was the I thought it was Jonathan Woodgate in charge, but was it Tony Pulis? Because I remember being absolutely apoplectic at Tony Pulis. So you're gonna have to get some live Googling here. Right, we're back. So after that little bit of Googling, so I was right. So it was the 2018 season where Tony Pulis' side lost to Burton Albion, but I'd seen a stat online that it was the first time since 2019 that Borough had made it to the quarterfinals. So I was getting confused when I saw that stat. I was starting to second guess myself. In 2019, Borough actually lost 4-2 to Crewe Alexandra in the first round of the EFL Cup. So we obviously didn't make it to the quarterfinals that year. We lost in the first round when we lost there. So yes, it was the year under Tony Pulis in 2018 that we made it to the quarterfinals. So apologies for any misunderstanding there. I was right, I just got the year wrong. So, on about the cup run. So, we've made it to the quarterfinals. We've got a chance to beat a lower division side to make it to the semi-finals. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's not be thinking we're in the semi-finals anyway. Although, we have got a very good chance to make it through this time. Let's just keep our heads, play our game, hopefully score another great goal, another two good goals like we did with Silveira and Rodgers, and get through to play whoever we want to play. If we got Newcastle, that would be so good, because I would love to play Newcastle at home and preferably put a couple past them at our place. But that might be just high and pie in the sky. But I just think this cup run has been really good for Borough, because it's just been a good confidence boost for the side. We needed it earlier on the season when we weren't getting it many wins. It's been a bit lucky, I think you can say, with the teams we've played. But you can only play what's in front of you. So fair play to Middlesbrough, fair play to the Matt Carrick, and fair play to the guys who have played in the cup run as well for getting us this far. People like Tom Glover, Latte Lath has played a lot in this cup run as well. So well done for them getting us this far as well. Obviously, you deserve your go in the league as well if you've done this as well. So well done. Moving on to the last point then before we round up. So obviously we've just hit November now, which means we're 2 months away from January. Without getting too far ahead of ourselves and looking at potential players we could be signing, I thought it might be a good idea to have a look at the Borough squad at the moment and see kind of how the summer window has led us to now, and then what maybe we could be looking at for January, because obviously it was a big summer of upheaval for Borough, not necessarily just for the people we sold, but also for the loan signings that went out as well. Obviously we had a big reliance on loan signings last year. I mean, even someone like Ryan Giles, we probably didn't assume we were going to be so reliant upon, but he did so well for us. Then we brought people in like Aaron Ramsey and Cameron Archer. They all did so well. I don't even think we were that reliant on Cameron Archer, to be honest with you. He did well for us. We weren't really reliant on him, but we were reliant on the other two guys mentioned. Tuba Rackham, obviously, as well, scored 29 goals in the league. We all know this story. Sold to Ajax for almost £15 million. We lost, I think the stat was over 50 goals, if you include Giles' assists as well. Just such a big gap and chasm to lose. So looking back on that, how did our recruitment team do there, and how was it set us up for January as well? Well, obviously it was a little bit tough going at the start with Ryan Giles' replacements. Bangura got an injury to start off with. He's been playing in the EFL Cup, like mentioned. Lucas Engel has come in. He had a very, very, very shaky start, but he's actually looked quite good recently. I wouldn't be replacing any left backs for Middlesbrough. The only way I'll be replacing a left back is if Ryan Giles became available for loan for any reason. I don't see necessarily why that would happen, apart from in a hypothetical scenario, because they've just paid £5 million for him, and I think they've got a buyback and a percentage clause for Ryan Giles to Wolves. Sorry, but if it did happen, I think I would take that up and then maybe look to do something sort something else out. Maybe Engel gets a loan somewhere else within the Championship, like to a Sheffield Wednesday or somewhere like that, just to kind of continue his development in England so he's still playing. So then in 6 months' time he comes back and then has his development still going. So that's the only way I would look to bring in a left back. Because obviously this is, if you imagine that this is like kind of a year that we take a little step back, like a step back to take a step forward next year with the players we've got. That's all that I would do there for the left backs. We also, obviously, in terms of the strikers situation, didn't necessarily replace Chuba Akpom. We replaced Cameron Archer with Emmanuel Latia Lath, and we used Josh Corbin when he returned from his loan at Bristol City. He came in a striker. He was going to go out on loan, obviously everybody knows this, to Plymouth Argyle, but then instead he ended up staying here on loan, and as I said before, he's done well. I would still bring in a striker. I would want to bring in a striker kind of in the role of a bigger striker, someone who could put the ball in the back of the net more often. Maybe not necessarily someone like Latta Lath, who would be running in behind. Maybe more of a hold-up striker to kind of take the pressure off Josh Corbin, because he is someone who is a bit younger, maybe isn't necessarily as experienced as everybody else in the squad. I would want him to kind of be given a bit more freedom almost, or a bit more, just kind of take some pressure off him in the future. So if he had somebody who could come in to hold the ball up and do a little bit of his kind of work for him. That's what I would be looking to do. A little bit of the hold-up work, a bit of the dirty work as well. And then you've got Latia there as well, who can score and put the ball in the back of the net, who would probably benefit from more games starting as well. So that's what I would suggest for striker. And obviously, if Tchoubrakwan became available as well, he's not done very well at all for Ajax. He hasn't even started three games worth of minutes for Ajax. I think it's 160-odd minutes he started for Ajax so far. So he needs a good run of games. Akpom, you can't expect someone to just come in to a foreign country and set the world alight from minutes on the bench. He needs to be given some time to start. And when they sack their manager, which they're well overdue, that one would hope he gets a chance to do that. But the Ajax manager may just come in and trust the youth and trust the Dutch players at his disposal. We don't know what's going to happen there. But if he did become available, I would not say no to a loan for Tchoubrakwan to come back to kind of help us out in this second half of the season. In terms of other players in the squad, if somebody became available, like a winger who would score goals in the role of like an Amad Diallo, or kind of maybe someone in the mould of either maybe even a centre-back, you know. I know we've got Matt Clark coming back from an injury. Just to kind of help solidify, if I can get my words out, the defence. I know that just kind of keeping our eyes out on the market to see who would be around. If anyone's out there with kind of 6 months left on their deal, I'm sure Kieran Scott's got his scouting network out there as well. We may need to look for another right back as well, however, because I know Rav Vandenberg's done very, very well for us in right back this season, but Tommy Smith is obviously getting on. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. We'll be relying on Vandenberg and Dijksteel for the rest of the season. I don't believe at all that Michael Carrick rates Dijksteel as a right back, and so I think it could be best to just bite the bullet and get a replacement in for Dijksteel. Kind of somebody who is a bit like Vandenberg, like wants to play right back and centre back, just kind of for some more cover, and maybe somebody who is a bit more experienced. Perry Ng, if Cardiff would be willing to sell Perry Ng, that would be absolutely perfect. I think good at free kicks as well. He could be absolutely perfect in that position, but Cardiff are doing really well this season, so I don't see them being willing to sell their captain in January. But you know, it's worth a shout. It's worth me saying, I think, at least. But if you've got any suggestions for people you think Borough could be signing this January window, do let me know. Get in touch with me wherever you listen to this podcast. You can get in touch with my social media pages. Do let me know. But that's going to wrap up this podcast for today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, I would appreciate some feedback. That'd be absolutely perfect. Or if you've got any suggestions for future topics, that'll be absolutely smashing. Guys, that's going to be all for today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Views from Holgate podcast, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye.